This is PCJ Radio International. PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehong.
It's the weekend again. Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of the program. And as always, it's very nice to have you with me. Today, we're also going to be laughing, just as we did last week and the week before last. We're going to be featuring today the humor and comedy of a fine actor. He did some serious roles on stage, but he was more well-known for comedy. And that is Kenneth Williams. First, let's kick off with a singer from Vancouver, Canada, who I like very much, Kenny Coleman, with the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and You Again.
You again, here at our favorite rendezvous again. Just when I thought at last I'm strong again, wrong again, who came in? You again, with eyes that know me like my looking glass. My heart is pounding and it's hard to breathe. And though I ought to leave, I need to make believe in you again. You again, you made your entrance right on cue again. That certain smile you saved for me alone, thought I'd outgrown, I should have known. You again, how do you steal back in my life so fast? For here I go not learning from the past. Our nights apart can't last. I toss and turn and then see you again. Could it be destiny or just desire? Your eyes burn into mine and start the fire. I'm undone through it all. You're still the one I've tried to run. But come what may, all the signs point just one way. 'Cause all roads lead to you. Thank you. your destiny or just desire. Your eyes burn into mine and start the fire. I'm undone. Through it all, you're still the one I've tried to run. But come what may, all the signs point just one way. 'Cause all roads lead to you again.
Canadian Kenny Coleman with the London Philharmonic, featuring Toots Thielman on harmonica from the album Dreamscape with You Again. Fantastic singer. He got his big break in the 1960s by recording a number of singles for the Epic label and then sort of vanished, and then in the late 1990s kind of came back. Very, very talented singer and very underrated as far as I'm concerned. You're listening to Happy Station, and today we're going to be continuing our little series giggling away or laughing away at some of the finest comedians and comical groups from the 20th century. Many, many years ago, I think I must have been around 7 or 8 years old, I discovered a comedy series of films. I discovered them because they were showing them on television in Canada, and they were the Carry On films. They made a whole bunch of them from the 1950s until the last one, which was like 1992, with a different cast than the original cast. Carry On is one of the most successful comedy series films that Britain ever produced. It made the stars of the film, because you can't just say this film stars one actor. No, because it was a company. It was a group of actors that made Carry On what they were. There was Sid James, fantastic, perfect comedy timing, and was great for playing the dirty old man. Barbara Windsor, the busty blonde, who was the heartthrob for many a young schoolboy in her younger day. Hattie Jakes, Charles Hawtrey, Jim Dale, and many others. But throughout the Carry On series, there was one actor, comedian, who stood out. That is the late Kenneth Williams. Kenneth Williams began his career in theater, performing with actresses such as Maggie Smith and Dame Ashcroft. I can't remember. Judy Ashcroft, I think. British actress. Performing on stage, doing serious plays and light entertainment plays of the day. But it wasn't until the medium of radio discovered him and discovered that he could portray characters that were so outrageous, quite often they would outshine the star of the program. The show that made him a household name was called Hancock's Half Hour. Now, we featured one of those programs not too long ago. But when Hancock's Half Hour first went to air on the BBC, it was with the whole cast of characters. One of them was Kenneth Williams, who would only appear on the show for maybe 5 minutes. But his performance was so memorable and became so popular that Tony Hancock had him fired from the show because he was more popular than Tony Hancock was. The two men didn't really like each other's company. They didn't talk outside doing the program. But together, they were absolutely fantastic. Well, let's now listen to one of those great sketches. It is called The Pilot. Here's Tony Hancock and the fabulous Kenneth Williams.
H for Hancock calling control tower. Leveling out at 1,800 miles per hour. Everything going to plan. Fine plane, tell the designer chappy.
Control tower. Control tower to Hancock. We're worried about possible sabotage. The mechanic who was working on your aircraft is missing. Think you should come down. Land immediately. Repeat, land immediately.
Nonsense, she's going beautifully. I don't know a thing about any mechanic. Taking her up to 2,400 miles an hour. Hancock to control tower. Something strange is happening. There's a peculiar knocking sound on the windscreen. Seems to be coming from outside the plane. I'm slowing down to 1,800 miles an hour. We'll slide cockpit open to see what's wrong.
Good evening. It's an arse cold here. You cannot come in.
What's that?
I say an arse cold here. You cannot come in.
There's no room. Get off.
Oh, don't be like that. Move over. I'll sit on your lap.
Get your boot off me joystick. Do you mind? Who are you?
Me? I'm the mechanic. I was still working on the tower when you took off. Honestly, frighten the life out of me. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. I was just sitting there singing happily to myself, and then next minute, whoosh, I was up here.
Sit still. I can't control the plane with you jumping about.
Well, I'm only trying to get comfortable. All these knobs and levers here sticking in me. Here, what's this one?
Don't touch it!
Oh, it's the ejector seat. Come back, where are you?
I'm out here, sitting on the tail!
Oh, now, stop messing about. No, come back in. It's no use sitting out there sulking. I can't drive the thing.
Well, go into a dive so I can slide down.
All right. I'll try this lever. Hello? You might have told me there was another ejector seat.
All right, well, we're both out here. Now what do we do?
Oh, look, we're going up.
Well, what do you expect when we're both sitting on the tail?
Isn't life funny? In the papers this morning, the Star said it was my lucky day.
If we keep going up at this rate, you'll be able to tell them they're wrong.
No, well, come on, we've had a little skylark and a little giggle. Let's go down.
How can we go down? Look, we've finished the engines falling off.
Oh, it's all right. They've got plenty more down there.
We want one up here. We're going into a dive. We're out of control. We can't get back to the cabin. Give me a piece of string.
Oh, I'm scared. Oh,
don't panic, man. Don't panic. This is the RAF. There's that stiff upper lip.
Just above this loose, flabby chin.
Give me that string. I'll get you down safely.
Kenneth Williams and Tony Hancock in a sketch called The Pilot from Hancock's Half Hour from BBC Radio. When the show started appearing on television, Kenneth Williams made it to the cast, but only lasted a few episodes until he was turfed out by Tony Hancock. In the 1960s, to be more precise, 1965, BBC started a new series of programs called Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horn. Two characters that were created by Marty Feldman, Julie and Sandy, became institutions. Kenneth Williams played Sandy. Julian was played by British actor Hugh Paddock. Here they are in one of their most memorable sketches from Round the Horn.
Wait a minute. Who's that lurking behind that potted palm?
Oh, hello. I'm Julian and this is my friend Sam. Bone at about your dolly old eek again.
Oh, thank you. But why are you hiding? It's not like you two to be shy. Well, don't be strange.
Well, it's Jewel, Mr. Orne. Yes. He's worried about his social bloomers.
The elastic gun?
Oh, he bowed! No, You see, Mr. Orney, done a faux pas once, didn't
yes,
you, Jewel?
I did, yes.
And it's made him nervous in company.
Yes, it has.
Nervous, you see.
The memory of it makes me blush right to the roots of my rye.
Right to the roots.
Yes. Tell him what it was. Go on, tell him. Tell him what happened.
I don't like
Go on, tell him.
No.
Go on, get it out in the open.
No. No, that, you see, the memory of my contretemps haunts me.
Haunts him, it does.
I feel I can't varder the world in the eek again.
Go on, Jewel, go on.
No.
Unburden yourself.
Now, look. As this is the last show, don't let's have a boner contention.
Oh. I swear he understands every word we say. Go on, Jewel, go
no,
on.
Bless
go on, Jewel.
Him.
No, go on. Well,
go on.
Yeah, all right then. Well, see, it all started on my birthday.
On his birthday it started.
Yes.
That's a nice presents, didn't you, Jewel?
Yes,
presents.
I did.
About the presents.
Yes, all right. Well, Jock.
Yeah.
Jock, he gave me a carafe of that new aftershave lotion, Merchant and Venturer.
Merchant.
Yes. And Stan gave me a.
Tell him what I gave. Tell him what I gave.
Give us a chance.
Go on.
Yes.
Put yourself together. Tell him what I gave him.
And Sam gave me a brand new Aristotle bound in Morocco.
Brand new Aristotle it was, bound in Morocco. His old one, I got dog-eared. Hadn't
it,
Jewel?
All the corners, yes, it had. I won't go anywhere without my work of Aristotle, will
no,
I?
No, he won't, so I'll give him the works.
Yes.
And a tie pin with his initials on in rhinestones. Where in, now, show him, Jewel.
What?
Show him the tie pin in rhinestones.
Oh, no. Yeah, very nice, too.
Yes.
I see your initials are JML.
Yes. Julian M. Lestrange.
Ah. What's the M for?
Mango.
You traitor! No, he swore he'd never tell.
Yeah. Mango! Mango!
Shut up!
Mango! Yeah. Mango. It's Celtic. It means lovable. Stop titillating yourself. And Julian means youthful, so in full his name means a strange but lovable young man.
Yeah, very appropriate.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the rings on his bark.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I give him for his jour de naissance, that's your actual French for birthday. And now comes the crux.
Yes, the crux is coming now.
Yes, tell him what Gordon give you. Tell him what Gordon give you. Go on. Gordon.
Gordon.
Gordon, give me.
Gordon, give me.
A pair
a
of.
A pair.
Come on.
No. Gordon, give me a pair of jockey shorts with pub signs on them.
Jockey shorts with pub signs on them.
Yeah.
And now we come to this party.
Yes, it was given my honour.
Given in his honour, it
yes,
was given.
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 And of course, I wanted to look my best, so I give myself a liberal dousing with the Merchant Adventurer, and I put my best suit on.
Over his pants with these pub signs.
Yeah. So, any road up. I should never have done the mashed potato.
That's a dance.
Oh, I wondered, yes.
Yes. Should never have done it, not in these tight trousers.
No, no. So, anyway, cut a long story short, me. Me mohair split.
And before you could say Jack Robinson, we was all staring at his Prospector Whitby.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, the shame. Oh, the shame of it. It suffused my eek to purple.
It did. And from that day to this, he's never been able to face a gathering.
No.
What a shame.
Well, it's not, you see, it's not for me so much, I mind, but it's the embarrassment to my wife.
Your wife?
My wife, yes.
Yes, we're both married. Didn't you know?
I'd no idea.
Oh, of course we are. And a more boner pair of Dolly Pallones you've never met. Look here, they come now. Our wives.
Oh, hello, I'm Julie, and this is my friend, Sandra.
Show me your ring.
Two of the most memorable characters from the BBC radio series Round the Horn that was on the air from 1965 until 1969. They were portrayed by Kenneth Williams and Hugh Paddock, and we also heard there Kenneth Horn with a sketch that was written by British comedian Marty Feldman, who was one of the writers for Round the Horn. During his time at Round the Horn, Kenneth Williams also ventured into songs. Now, of course, everything had a double meaning. It was pretty much like the classic BBC series Are You Being Served, where there's a lot of double meanings with anything. And he could take a song and turn it into something else that had a completely different meaning, and it was done so innocently that they became classics. Here he is singing a song from the British music halls that goes back many, many years, called The Marrow Song. But listen to Kenneth Williams doing it. It's quite funny.
Down the road there lives a man I'd like you all to know. He grew a great big marrow for the local flower show. And when the story got around, they came from far and wide. And when the people saw the marrow, everybody cried. Oh, what a beauty! I've never seen one as big as that before. Oh, what a beauty! It must be 2 foot long or even more. It's such a lovely colour and so nice and round and fat. I never thought a marrow could grow as big as that. Oh, what a beauty! I've never seen one as big as that before. He was leaning on the garden gate the other day and beckoned to a lady who lives across the way. Took her down the garden path and showed it her with pride. And when she saw the size of it, the little lady said, oh, what a beauty! I've never seen one as big as that before. Oh, what a beauty! It must be 2 foot long or even more. With such a lovely colour and nice and round and fat, I never thought a marrow could grow as big as that. Oh, what a beauty! I've never seen one as big as that before. I mean me marrow. I've never seen one as big as that before.
Kenneth Williams, The Marrow Song, or Oh, What a Beauty, from the BBC radio series Round the Horn. Not too long ago, I was speaking to a friend of mine who was a young schoolboy when that song came out, and he said that after it aired on BBC the following day, on the following Monday at school, everybody and all the boys were singing the song, and the teachers at the school really didn't catch on right away of what the song was really about. It has double meanings, of course, you know. And they all performed it in the way of Kenneth Williams. And only Kenneth Williams could bring it to that level. During the 1970s, Kenneth Williams was an institution when it came to doing interviews. He had a fantastic way of talking about things that happened in the past, either in films or the time that he was in the army. Yes, Kenneth Williams was in the army. Kind of hard to imagine. He was part of the entertainment corps. No surprise there. He was very good at doing this. And at one time, there was a series on British television called An Evening With. And every episode, and they did a few a year, maybe I think one or two a year, they would have somebody from the entertainment field that would come along and they would do a monologue for 1 hour. So Kenneth Williams was asked to do one of these monologues, and it is absolutely fantastic. It is available on CD and DVD. If you do see it around, I would suggest you go pick it up because it is absolutely wonderful. But here he is, Kenneth Williams, talking about his life in the army when he was based in Singapore from that classic British program, An Evening with Kenneth Williams.
And there we were doing all this in Singapore. and we were stationed at Nisun. It was an army camp, a transit camp, and yet we were all ostensibly entertainers, though we were all in the forces. Peter was in the RAF, Stanley Baxter was army, I was army. We were all army, but Stanley was supposed to entertain, and the OC lined us up and said, now, because you're entertainers, I understand that, you want to act, that's fine, but I want you to go about behaving like soldiers. I will not have a lot of this effeminacy and mincing about. You could hear in the back row, get the madam. Quiet! Don't try that on with me. With Ivan Novello. You can't teach me anything. I know about the pros. Heaven knows what he did with Ivan Novello. And there was all this anger about any kind of effeminacy, and our opening number in the review was, we all had to come on, you see, singing, we're boys of the service, we're at your service, entertaining you. One of those sort of openings, you see. And he watched this, and oh, dreadful, boys of the service, dreadful, it's too effeminate. And all those sibilants, boys of the service, terrible. No, let's make it men. Men of the service. I'll go back off and come on again and sing. Men. So we all came back. We're men of the service. He said, yes, that's more like it. Yes, he said. Turn your old fellow men. And then he called us all for a parade and said he was bringing in a tough man from the Durham Light Infantry so they could lick some discipline into you. Man from the Durham Light Infantry, Sergeant Major, is going to lick some discipline into you. So we were all frightened to death, and this man came and joined the company. He was the Sergeant Major. And as time went on, we found out there were one or two little fiddles being done with the Sergeant Major and the Chinese tailors in Singapore, and he was eventually caught by, of all things, it's so weird. He was caught by the conjurer in the show. I never thought much of his conjuring, actually. And then I found out afterwards that he was SIB, he was Special Investigation Branch, planted to find out what was going on about these astronomical bills. And the bills were very high, because Sergeant Major was doing a deal with the Chinese tailor, saying, charge 500, we'll have split the rest between us. And so he was caught and on a charge for embezzlement. And the next thing was, he took poison, and the Sergeant Major was dead, and the OC lined us up and said, well, look here, Sergeant Major's killed himself, the man's more trouble dead than he was alive, we're going to bury him. All over 6 foot, stand forward for pall bearing. And Stanley Baxter went down. Right down, yeah. Nobody wanted to be a pall bearer. And the old man came along, he said, you all do. He said, I knew Church of Scotland. And the old man said, oh, I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. Yes, of course, I understand. And then went on down the line. Then he turned and said, just a minute. Don't talk about Church of Scotland, you bury people, come on. So he got him and the pianist and one of the dancers, and they all had to parade and go with this coffin to the cemetery. The British military cemetery, and the monsoon was falling down. It was actually pouring down, and they had this flag on the coffin. And the vicar said, get it off! Get the flag off! Ignominious death. Of course, ignominious death, you give no battle honours. So it had to be got. And said, oh, yes, I'm sorry. And all get this. And then this man was standing there with all this cassock flapping and this terrible monsoon, saying, man has born a woman in his life, he's grief and full of misery, he comes out by the horn, and he's cut down like the corn, and there is no... And the OC is, oh, it's very fine. Very fine, very beautiful. And in the meantime, in the middle of this, you know, incarceration, the car, enormous Packard, arrived with a Chinese chauffeur, opened it, and out got a lady. He held an umbrella over, and she was crying, invisibly. And the old man was staggered. Who are you, you see? Suddenly this woman appeared, and she said, I was his wife. We didn't know. He'd married this woman secretly in Singapore. And the old man said, oh, my dear, this is very upsetting for you. Oh, yes, well, come, I'll take you back after the funeral. I'll take you back to my quarters and we'll have a little drink here. He'll say, look after you. We'll do a little brandy, pull you together. Yes, I need something. Just crying. And I wasn't present at the rest of it, but Baxter told me that she was ensconced in the HQ. He said, she was sitting there in a kimono the next day having the coffee, you know. And, you know, they said it was a mourning as brief as Clytemnestra's. quite sad. And then we did these tours, you know, we toured all over the place with these shows, and we're taking with our shows quite a number of civilians. There was a lady who was saying it's a grand night for singing, and with the opening of the show I was with, and she, we were all told, you know, be very careful when you're touring in Malaya and Burma, not to have any, don't have anything to do with these itinerant peddlers. And they used to come by on the railway trains offering you melon, watermelon, and this silly girl ate the melon, you see. And it was grown in typhus-infested water, so the consequence was she had the most dreadful dysentery. And the grand night for singing number was distorted. She kept rushing on, you know, the grand night for singing. They fixed up a commode in the wings, but we were all left there because we were all the chorus around going la 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 la. We were all la-lying, and we were left while she shot off to this commode and going la la and filling in like mad. And then she came back but did it in another key. The whole thing was absolute disaster. And there was a civilian dancer called Barry Chat, who had the most extraordinary effect on the military. When he arrived in Burma, he was at the HQ, standing outside, and outside the HQ were several generals, brigadiers, with rolled-up maps, you know, field glasses, all standing there outside HQ. And this dancer, Barry, did a pirouette about six times, vast, and very fast indeed, and then tapped this brigadier on the shoulder and said, "Tell your mother we're here, dear, put the kettle on." That was the sort of thing one had to cope with. And when we got to Hong Kong, which was where I left, you see, because that was our last date, and I was being demobbed from Hong Kong. And we, whilst in Hong Kong, were asked to take part in an adaptation on radio of The Death of Nelson. And it was rather moving, very beautiful. And Stanley Baxter was playing Hardy, I was playing the French secretary. Peter Nichols couldn't be in it because he had to go to hospital. He was always going to hospital, Peter Nichols. I think he was getting out of it, really. And then we did this show and this dramatization of The Death of Nelson at Trafalgar, and the Admiral of the Fleet, Admiral Sir Bruce Fraser, was the narrator. And he came out after the broadcast and said, "It was very moving, very fine, and I'd like you all to come back on the flagship for drinks." We said, "Oh, yes, very nice. Thank you very much." And we rushed. We were all in white shirts and trousers, a khaki drill. And we went in his motor, flying the pennant of the Admiral to the dock gates, where the sentries all bashed the rifles and presented arms. And they were taken on a launch out and then up the ladder of the Belfast's cruiser, which was his flagship. And there were stewards there, you know, and ensigns saying, "Oh, Ping Trian, right, Ping Trian, Ping Trian, Ping Trian, Ping Trian, Ping Trian. So thank you very much, Ping Trian, yes, Ping Trian." We were standing there in the wardroom, loving it. And they said, "Oh, are you enjoying life on the colony?" And we said, "We don't live here. We're in the army. Is it?" "What? What is your rank?" And I said to Sergeant, and Baxter said Sergeant, and Sergeant, because we were in an officer's wardroom. Well, the drinks were out of our hands in about 10 seconds flat. And we were over the side and bundled off with no ceremony at all, no piping, nothing like that. And when we got to the dock gates, nobody presented arms. Baxter said he heard a raspberry. And that really, I mean, I know it sounds weird, but it all actually happened. I mean, anyone here doubted? Does anyone here, you're looking doubtful. Do you think it happened? I mean, I don't mind having any questions about army at this point. Because it is an audience with. A question about army. Ah, there's Brian. Brian Forbes. Yes, Brian. You have a question?
Well, not a question so much, Ken, but I'm interested because we were all in CSEU, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you think at that time that you were going to go on and make a career out of it?
That's interesting. No, because you see, my old man, my father... my father, you know, my father was a hairdresser. He said, and he'd been in the army, and he said to me, "You've got to have a trade, boy. It's no good going," because I said, "I wouldn't mind doing a bit. Acting is rubbish. All the women are tarts, the blokes are poofs. You'll never make any money because it's too hazardous. You've got to have a trade, boy. You must have a trade." It was all dingy. "You've got to have a trade." So, of course, I'd been a trained draftsman. That's how I got into the army. I was in the REs as a draftsman, you see. So that really does answer your question. I had no idea at that point I was really doing it in the army because I thought, well, it's a good way out of square bashing and all that awful, you know, drilling and rushing with bayonets and going, ah, and screaming. I could never do it. And, oh, sorry.
from the special, An Evening with Kenneth Williams. That was Kenneth Williams talking about his time in the army in Singapore, Burma, Malay, and Hong Kong. You're listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. And in a little bit, I'll be giving out some information about a special broadcast. Well, actually, four special broadcasts that we're going to be doing as a test. So I'll tell you about that later on in the show. But now time for a little bit more of Julian and Sandy. Here's Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Kenneth Horn, written by Marty Feldman.
I was going to Cornwall for a few days' rest, and I wanted to take some reading matter with me. You know, there's nothing worse than being in loo with nothing to read. So I popped into a bookshop in the King's Road. It was called Bona Books. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sam.
Oh, hello, Mr. Orne.
Thank you.
Oh, lovely to see you, Mr. Orne. Come in, troll round.
Are you looking for something between hard covers or something to slip in your pocket?
We have an enormous selection of livres de poches. That is your actual French for posh books.
Yeah.
Livres de poches.
Yeah. How about a nice classic? Mm. We stock every Omis edition.
Mm. Would you be interested in Spencer's Fairy Queen?
No, he's not interested in mine.
Oh! Me bold! Oh, there's your Wilkie Collins, Pallone in White.
Or how about a nice Moroccan-bound Poe?
That's nice. That is nice. That is nice.
Including such masterpieces of the macabre as The Telltale Heart Face, Fall of Usher's Latty, and his masterpiece...
Poe's Raven.
Is he? Never listen to gossip, Ducky.
Then we do all your poetry here. Longo Miss Hiawatha. Mm-hmm. Comes nice in your quarto, doesn't it?
Yeah. Look, I'm not too keen on poetry, except Shakespeare, of course.
Oh, wow. We do our own edition of Shakespeare, don't we? Yes. Mm. We've rewritten it ourselves in up-to-date Polari. Includes such things as Much Ado About Nanty, All's Boner That Ends Boner, Two Homies of Verona, and As They Like It.
Isn't that As You Like It?
Not really, but live and let live, I say. But it has got some of the most beautiful language in your actual English tongue. Do that speech,
beautiful.
Jewel. Jewel, that speech, you know the one, Seven Ages of Omi.
Oh.
Do it for him.
Oh, well, I don't remember it all, but I'll give you a paraphrase of
it. He'll give you a paraphrase, Mr. Orne. Yes. He'll give you a paraphrase soon as look at you, he would.
I have to get in the mood.
Yes, he has to. He has to be in the mood before he can do it. He has to feel the muse, don't
feel,
you, Jewel?
Yes.
Are you feeling it? Yes, he is. Look, Louis. Yes. Oh, he's feeling it. He's feeling the muse. Oh, look. No, it's lighted on his shoulder.
Oh, I'm getting it. Yes. I'm getting it. It's upon me.
It's upon him, Mr. Orne.
What can I usefully add?
He has to get into the part, Mr. Orne. Like all the great actors, he has trouble getting into his part,
yeah,
don't you, Jewel?
I do.
Oh, it's true. All of them do. Even Sir John Gingold has that trouble. Now, are you ready now, Jewel?
Just ready.
He's ready. He's ready. The Seven Ages of Omi.
All the world's a stage, and all the Omis and Pallones merely players. They have their exits and their entrances.
That's true, Mr. Orne. We all have our exits and our entrances. Oh, every one of us. Well, I know I do. Yeah. Oh, carry on, Jewel. Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. Go on, love.
One Om in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first, the infant mewling and puking in the nurse's arms.
That's lovely. We all mule, Mr. Orne. I've mewled in my nurse's arms. I've mewled and on her lap, too. There's no stopping an infant, is there?
No.
No.
Well, my thoughts were turning more to puking.
Oh! It don't seem to be going down too well, Jewel.
No.
I'd cut to the soldier, if I were you. Cut to the soldier.
All right, I'm being the soldier now.
He's being a soldier.
Then a soldier, all butch and full of strange Polari.
Oh, he takes a good soldier. Oh, he does. It's his own military background.
Yes.
He was in soldiers in skirts, wasn't
he?
Lovely.
Then the justice.
That's something else he knows about. Mm. Look at him. No, he's aged. He's aged up for it. Look at it. You could swear he was 27.
Oh, thank you. Full of wise saws and moral instances. The six-day shift.
You usually have trouble with that phrase.
Today was no exception.
No.
The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloons.
Look, he's shifted into it. There he goes. Yes.
His youthful hose well saved. A world too wide for his shrunk lallies.
Ah. Look at that, Mr. Orne. His lallies seem to shrink before your very eyes, don't they? His lallies seem to shrink. Basically.
And his big, manly obsons turns again towards childish treble. Last, last scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history is second childishness and mere oblivion.
Of course, they do wonders with tablets now. Now it's coming up to the big flash finish. Yes. Listen, listen, go on, Jewel. Mm. Yes.
Second childhood and mere oblivion. Nanty Ampsteads, Nanty Minces, Nanty Raya. Nanty everything.
A brown fire, Jewel!
Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, and Kenneth Horn from the BBC radio series Round the Horn with Julian and Sandy. BBC Radio has a network in the UK that runs some dramas and comedies, vintage dramas and comedies, available online. Can't remember, it's radio. What is the name? If you go to bbc.co.uk, that's bbc.co.uk, and go to the link that says radio. And on there, you'll find the station that I'm talking about. Now, what is nice is this station runs many of those classic programs. Everything you can imagine. I mean, they're absolutely fantastic. They've been running Round the Horn. They also run The Goon Show, and they also run some other wonderful programs as well. So do go check it out. I think it could be Radio 6 or Radio 7. I can't remember. But just go to bbc.co.uk, and I'm sure you will find it. All right. Time now for music, and then when we come back, some information about some special broadcasts that we're going to be doing very soon. But first, here's Lulu and Just One Look.
Thank you.
Lulu. And just one look. If Kenneth Williams was here, he'd probably go, oh, Lulu, look, he's having one look now. Right, being silly, aren't I? Oh, right, you are listening to Happy Station coming to you from PCJ Radio International. If you want to contact us, our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com. And if you've been enjoying our little series looking at comedy and some of the classic comedians and performers, do let us know. We have three more programs to go. Who's it going to be next week? Well, I'm not going to tell you, but another classic British comedian. That's all I'm going to say. And it's one of my personal, I mean, I have many favorites, of course, like Kenneth Williams, but he is one that had a major impact on me and how I got into radio, because I got into radio doing something that he did. After reading his biography, I got the idea from it. And I'll tell you about who that is next week. So do that. So hs@pcjmedia.com. We are going to be doing some tests from the Trincomalee site in Sri Lanka, the Trincomalee transmitter site, which was Radio Deutsche Welle. Now belongs to the SLBC, the Sri Lanka Broadcasting Corporation. We're going to be doing four transmission tests out of that site on a Sunday, and we're going to be doing them at different times. For 2 weeks, it will be from 13 to 14 hours UTC, and then 2 weeks from 14 to 15 hours UTC. We're doing two different times to see which one has a much better response. Both transmissions will be targeting East Asia, but, of course, will be available in other places as well, and the power will be 125 kilowatts. Now, as for the exact dates and the frequencies, I'll let you know very shortly, because our good friend Victor Gunatelica is working on some good frequencies right now for those times. And once we get that and the date, then I will be publicizing it. And you'll also be able to find them on our website on the front page at pcjmedia.com. That's pcjmedia.com. So stay tuned, because we'll have that information for you very, very soon. And listeners who do tune in to that those special four programs of Happy Station, we're going to be issuing a very special QSL card for them. So stay tuned. And, of course, I want to thank Victor Gunatelica for helping with this. Now, will we continue after the 4 weeks? It depends on the response that we get from it. So if the response is good enough, we will continue. But we want to check first if we can reach certain target areas from that site. So, tune in and check out our website, and we'll have more details later on. Time now for music. Well, there are some areas of the world that have had snow. Many parts of the world are going into spring. Here in Taiwan, it's been very strange. On Tuesday, it was 32 degrees outside, and then Wednesday, it was 15. And then the week before, it was 25. I mean, it is so up and down. I don't know if it's summer, winter, fall, spring, or winter. It is just so up and down over the last few days that you may remember last week I told you about this cold that I have. And it's kind of gone now. I feel a lot better than I did last week. But because of this up and down of the temperatures, there's air conditioning off, then it's on, and then it's heating is on. I mean, you're just all over the place. It's really nasty. And this year has been the strangest weather that we've had here in Taiwan. It has been a very unusual winter. We got a lot of rain in the fall, but not too much rain during the winter, which is very strange. It is very strange. The reservoirs around the city of Taipei are the lowest that they've been in, I think, a couple of decades. So they've introduced some water-saving programs. But luckily, we've had enough rain that it's been filling it up. But even still, it's just very odd. It's just very, very strange. So speaking of spring, which is what I was planning to do until I got sidetracked, here's a song called Springtime, performed by German singer Tom Gabel.
The old folks say you should never waste your life. Now we got the first of spring, winter's blown away. I don't want to work now and sit around from 9 to 5. I just want to have some fun on such a sunny day. Even the birds, they know that it's springtime. Baby, I guess, I know, I bet you're gonna be mine. Baby, it's the right time for a dance in the sunlight, for romance in the moonlight, for everything we wanna do, me and you. It's the right time for a dance in the sunlight and romance in the moonlight, in any place we wanna be, you and me. Can't be wrong just because it feels so right, living life a joyful, soulful, easy way. I just wanna hold you every day and every night. It's the right time, it's such a sunny day. Oh, even the trees, they know that it's springtime. And baby, I guess, I know, I bet you're gonna be mine. Baby, it's the right time for a dance in the sunlight and romance in the moonlight, for everything we wanna be, you and me. Oh baby, it's the right time for a dance in the sunlight and romance in the moonlight, in any place we wanna be, yeah.
Hey man, I could use some saxophone. Hey, Daddy, you got your horn with you?
Oh, I got my horn with me.
You want to play?
Sure, I got something in my bag.
Yeah, then go. Go! Trees, they know that it's springtime. Baby, I guess, I know, I bet you're gonna be mine. Oh baby, it's the right time for a dance in the sunlight, for romance in the moonlight, for everything we wanna do. Baby, it's the right time for a dance in the sunlight, for romance in the moonlight, for everything we wanna do. Yes, it's the right time for a dance in the sunlight, for romance in the moonlight, for any place we wanna be, you and me. Oh baby, it's the right time for a dance in the sunlight, for romance in the moonlight, for everything we wanna be, you and me. Oh baby, it's the right time for a dance in the sunlight, for romance in the moonlight, in any place we wanna be. Oh baby, it's the right time for a dance in the sunlight, for romance in the moonlight, for everything we wanna do.
Tom Gable and Springtime. So hopefully you're having a pretty good springtime wherever you may be. Well, we are nearly out of time, and there's a funny noise in the background, and I have no idea where it's coming from, but hopefully it'll go away very, very soon. Once again, if you wish to contact us, our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com. And if you want to listen to this program again or catch past editions, visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com. A very quick program note. This week on Media Network Plus, my special guest is Tom Wilkinson. and he works for the Radio Netherlands Training Center, and we're going to be talking about what they do, and that's on Media Network Plus, on the World Radio Network, and through great partner stations everywhere. Anyway, that's it. That's all. I'm going to leave you right now. So until next time, friends, this is Keith Parent wishing you well, hoping that you'll join us again very soon. So, so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.